That's a nice picture, isn't it? I chose it because God has given us gifts, and in many ways, He's sort of set a track down for us. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to use your gift. I don't know if you find that inspiring or not, but that's why I chose the picture. Okay, let's dive in. When I was growing up in school, do you know what the worst day of the school year for me was? Oh, no report cards. I never worried about report cards. Thank you. But why picture day? That's not the reason I hated picture day. I didn't mind getting my picture taken. What I hated about picture day, and I don't know if they did this in your school, they made us all line up. And it wasn't according to intelligence. They lined us up from shortest to tallest. Yeah. So when I would line up, guess which end of the line I was at? Way down at the short end. I had one other guy that was shorter than me, but I was always second shortest. Now, I don't know, ladies, if it works the same in the female world as it does in the male world, but height matters. Men are supposed to be strong. Short does not communicate strength. So, for grades 1 through 6, I was the shorty. I hated picture day. It was a reminder of where I stood with the rest of the guys. But then something marvelous happened. I was what they would call an early bloomer. I started getting stubble in grade 7. And I shot up. I mean, I shot way up to average height. So in grade 7, when we lined up, I was in the middle. It felt pretty good, I gotta say. And in that same year, I joined the volleyball team. And I tell ya, being average height was glorious. I was actually a valuable member of the team. I could help out. I could contribute. And then grade 8. And then grade 9. And by the time grade 10 rolled around, I still played volleyball from the bench. I had lost my usefulness. I became a professional bench warmer. I couldn't spike the ball. I don't even think at that point the ball even felt the air swoosh underneath it. I was so short. So I just stayed on the bench. I was practically a useless player. Have you ever had that feeling of being a useless player? Ever felt less than other people? Sometimes teenagers feel that way, you know, when they feel that they're kind of portrayed as being an extra baggage. No one wants them around. Singles can feel lesser than because, well, what's wrong with me? How come no one wants to date me? Divorced people can feel that way because they feel like their marriage failed and so they're lesser than. Seniors can feel that way. Because as time goes on, they feel pushed aside. They've lost their usefulness, sadly. Feeling lesser than can come from your gender, your skin color, your language, your personal history, your age, your education level, your income. And if you've ever felt inferior or less than, this message is for you. Some of you might have felt less than even in your families Any black sheep of the family out there? Thank you for your honesty, ladies. Me too. That's not the Me Too movement. This is something else. Some of you might have felt lesser than in your work or in your friendships and even in your church. This message this morning is personal to me. This idea of feeling lesser than in your church is not new in this century. In fact, it goes way, way back, right to the first century, right to the church in Corinth. You see, as the gospel spread its way out throughout the Mediterranean, and people were receiving Christ as their Savior and Lord, and the Holy Spirit was coming to indwell people, the Holy Spirit did this incredible thing in giving people spiritual gifts. And these spiritual gifts were meant to unite the church so that we would work together and be interdependent with one another. But they were doing something else. They were creating classes where some people felt like bench warmers and other people felt superior. And the church began to divide into superstars and bench warmers. Some people thought it was their destiny just to watch what was going on. God's message to us this morning, God's message to you if you have ever felt inferior, is this. That's not it. There we go. Is this. I am equal. I am equal. This is what I believe God wants to tell Nanaimo Alliance Church this morning. It's so important, and I'm going to get to why this is so personal for me in a few minutes. But we are looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the first 11 verses. I'll have them up here on the screen, but if you want to look at them in your Bible, that's just fine. We're reading from the New Living Translation, and it starts this way. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. Now, we don't know what the church in Corinth wrote to Paul, but they sent some sort of communique to him about this idea of spiritual gifts. And Paul's about to address that question right now about these newly found abilities. He continues, "You know that when you were still pagans or non-believers, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols." Lots of people worshiped Greek gods, all kinds of gods back then. You could worship whatever you wanted. But here's the thing about all those gods, he's saying, they're speechless idols. They have nothing to say. In contrast to the Holy Spirit, who has plenty to say and wants to say things to us. These idols had no involvement in your life, unlike the Holy Spirit, who has plenty of involvement in our lives. Continue on. "So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Notice the emphasis is on the Holy Spirit. Now, what is he not saying? He's not saying that people who do not know Jesus cannot say Jesus is Lord. Of course they can. They just can't mean it sincerely. Now, he's about to address this whole division in the church between bench warmers and superstars. And it goes like this. "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us." He keeps pointing to an equality amongst the people of God. Do you notice he used the word same three times? An equality, an equality, an equality. And of course, for those of you who are, you know, theology kind of people, did you notice that the Trinity is contained here? Spirit, Son, and Father. All in the same thing. And he says, They're all involved in the spiritual gifts thing. And there's an equality here. He levels the playing field. Now he's about to list some spiritual gifts. And here we go. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. Do you know people with that gift? Marvelous. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So he lists very specific gifts here. And this is not the only list in the New Testament. There are other places that list other spiritual gifts. In fact, there are about 20 that are listed, and it's probably not an exhaustive list found in the New Testament. He lists in this passage wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and interpretation. There's a lot of things that we don't know about spiritual gifts. There's a question of whether someone's gifts last throughout their lifetime or whether the Holy Spirit gives gifts as you need them. I don't know. That's not the point. Here's what we do know. Now pay attention to this list. Here's what we know. Every believer has a gift. Isn't that good news? I love this. So spiritual gifts are not just for spiritual superstars. No one is left out. If you've ever felt left out, here's great news for you. You are not left out. So there is the same distribution to everyone. There's an equality in distribution. No one is left out. Every believer has a spiritual gift. It says in verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each one of us. Awesome. Number 2, no one has all the gifts. We all have the same limitations. None of us have all the gifts, except for your pastor. Well, at least that's what some people think, right? They think, well, the pastor, of course, has all the gifts. So when they look at their pastor, they say, well, here's a guy who can perform miracles and intercede in prayer, and of course he's wise and knowledgeable, and he can heal the sick and lead well and be hospitable and be a good helper. And the list goes on and on and on of all the things people expect from a pastor. And the greater the expectations for a pastor, the greater the chances of disappointment. Disappointment. The more you think the pastor has all the gifts, the greater the likelihood is you will be sadly, sadly disappointed in your pastor. And that's not just with pastors. That can be with your elders, your small group leader, whatever it is. No one has all the gifts. Number 3, we did not earn our gift. Also good news. There is no indication in Scripture that spiritual gifts are given on some sort of point system. We didn't earn them. You can't purchase spiritual gifts with Bible reading, or prayer, or offerings, or sharing your faith, or even church attendance. There is the same merit system for everyone, which is there is no merit system. The same sovereignty oversees the entire distribution of spiritual gifts. And in my experience, and maybe you've experienced this too, I'm amazed and often question God's wisdom when it comes to how he distributes spiritual gifts. I've seen people with amazing gifts that are very immature in their faith. They come to Christ and they've got a lot of issues. And they touch people and they heal them. It's amazing. And while God never consulted me on distributing spiritual gifts, so I have to assume he knows what he's doing. But we did not earn our gift. You don't earn your gift through your maturity. It's amazing. Number four, all gifts come from the same person. Now he makes a point of this by saying all gifts come from who? The Spirit. That's right. And in some ways, he's leveling the playing field here too, because in some circles, the Holy Spirit is almost considered like a third class in the Godhead. It's the weirdest thing. The Father, Son, and Spirit are all equal. They are equal. But, you know, sometimes Christians can be a little nutty sometimes, and we might say, oh, you got your spiritual gift from the Spirit? I got mine from Jesus. And then someone will come along and say, oh, you got yours from Jesus? I got mine from the Father. And he levels the playing field and say they all come from the same person. The Holy Spirit is large and in charge of the whole thing about spiritual gifts. This is his job. When it comes to Nanaimo Alliance Church and spiritual gifts, it is the Holy Spirit's department. So there's no one-upmanship when it comes to where did you get your gift. Number five, all gifts have the same purpose. Did you catch that in that passage? Did you see it? All gifts have the same purpose. Verse 7 says, spiritual gifts are given so we can help each other. So it doesn't matter what gift you have been given. Doesn't matter if it's healing, if it's intercession, if it's helps. The whole purpose is the same. So we can help each other. Isn't that great? So God didn't give, well, here's a class of spiritual gifts and therefore this higher calling. And then there's these. Well, we love them. And we tolerate them. But they have a lower purpose. They're to clean the carpets, you know. They're to make sure that the light bulbs get changed and all that sort of. Not at all. Every gift is for the same purpose. There's an equality amongst purpose. So to sum up, as you can see, every believer has a gift. No one has all the gifts. We did not earn our gift. All gifts come from the same person, and all gifts have the same purpose. Is there any reason to feel superior from that list in your spiritual gift? No. But this message is about inferiority. Is there any reason to feel inferior with your gift? No, there is not. There is an equality in the church of Christ, which is why you can say with confidence, I am equal. I am equal. The Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms reads like this. Section 15, chapter 1, or paragraph 1, it says, every individual is equal before and under the law and has the right to the equal protection and equal benefit of the law without discrimination, and in particular, without discrimination based on race, national or ethnic origin, color, religion, sex, age, or mental or physical disability. Now, I looked at that and I thought, well, that's nice. But I wonder, what would it look like if the Nanaimo Alliance Church had a charter of rights and freedoms? It might look like this. Every individual is equal before and under the authority of Jesus and has the right to equal protection and equal benefit from the Lord without discrimination, and in particular, without discrimination based on race, national or ethnic origin, color, sex, age, mental or physical disability, or spiritual giftedness. And this is what Paul was addressing. Some people feeling incredibly superior in their spiritual gifts, and some people feeling inferior. And it was creating division in the church where there shouldn't have been division. We have said that as a church, our philosophy of ministry goes like this. Strong churches are built by God. Oh, we need to do review, apparently. Strong churches are built by God through the... Are you sure? Strong churches are built by God through the church. It does not say strong churches are built by God through the pastor, or through the board, or through a small group leader, or through Sunday school teachers. It says strong churches are built by God through the church, the whole church. And what do I mean by strong churches? I mean churches that are mature, faith-filled, courageous, sacrificial, humble, loving. Strong churches are built by God through the church. The entire church, every part of the church, every gift in the church. No amens on that one. The whole church. All right. It's not just the parts that speak on Sunday. It's not just the parts that lead small groups or perform miracles or who speak in tongues. It is every person. Every gift is needed. Strong churches are built by God through the church. So what can we do? What is our response? First of all, accept your gift. Accept your gift. Accept it with thanksgiving. Your gift is needed here. You belong here. For some of you, that may mean that for the very first time this morning, you may accept the idea that you actually have a gift. That you have a special ability that the Holy Spirit has given to you. And I want to encourage all of us to stop comparing ourselves to other people. God just wants you to use your gift. It's not a competition. Remember, it's the same purpose. So when your brother or sister experiences God use them, that's a victory for everyone. It's beautiful, isn't it? Accept that you are gifted. And by the way, if you don't already know this, we have a spiritual gift inventory on our website now. You can go to it and you can fill it out. It took me about 15 minutes to fill it out. And you can get a good idea what your spiritual gift may be. Now, for those of you who are in small groups, bring that information to your small group and ask them, does this sound like me? And where do you think would be a good place for me to use this spiritual gift? And on March 4th, you'll have the opportunity, for those of you not involved in a small group, we're going to have a little time after the service for just a few of you who need a little extra help. If you want to know how to use your spiritual gift, I would ask that you fill out that inventory before you come. Make sure you go to our website, fill out that inventory. But accept your gift. Number two, follow the Spirit. Your gift was given to you for a reason. The Holy Spirit knows what He's doing. He has a specific role for you to play. And this is not just here and there. This is a moment by moment, day by day relationship with the Holy Spirit. So when you go to work in the morning, you can say, Lord, how do you want me to use my gift today? How can I be a blessing? And how can I help others today? We talk in Christian circles about having a relationship with God a lot. This is where the rubber hits the road. This is actual relationship. To have this constant communion, saying, Holy Spirit, guide me. How do you want me to use my gift today? Who's in need? Where can I go? What do you want me to do? It's beautiful. And here's the thing. The Spirit empowers us as well to do the work. Isn't that marvelous? It's not up to us. The Holy Spirit is with us. And He helps us. Number three, encourage others in their giftedness. If you know how you are gifted, if you believe that you are equal, it frees you to be encouraging because other people aren't competition anymore. You can look for the things that they do well. You can point out their gifts and encourage them. In your small group, I encourage you, in your small group, if you haven't done this already, take the time to encourage each other in their spiritual giftedness. And just say, I see this in you. You're really good at this. Develop that. Explore that. Use that. Now, we get to the section I'm really excited about. This is so cool. If you can say that I am equal, what would happen if we all believed that? This is intentional, by the way. Don't get worried. What if we really believed I am equal? There are several things that would happen in Nanaimo Alliance Church. Are you ready? Here we go. Number one, we'd feel a lot better about ourselves. No amens. We'd feel a lot better about ourselves. If we really believed we were equal, we'd feel a lot better about ourselves. I don't know about you. I've been in church circles a long time. My experience has been I haven't come across a lot of people who have felt marvelously superior and let everyone know, I'm sure better than you. Haven't seen that a lot. There may be some indication that it's there, but haven't seen it a lot. What I have seen is a plague of inferiority. I can't do that. God can never use me to do that. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't know my Bible enough. I don't pray enough. I don't... Bleh, 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 bleh. Yes, that is the theological term. For far too long, people in the church have felt less deserving of blessing, have prayed more sheepishly, and have avoided service. The message this morning, I am equal, is a dose of reality. And for some of you, it's the first time maybe you are considering that you are equal. You have something to offer. So we'd feel a lot better about ourselves. Second, service would go up. No kidding. If we believe we are equal, more people would sign into service because they'd stop having the excuse, I'm not good enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I can't do this. It just makes sense that if we really believed we were equal, we'd stick our necks out more. We'd take greater risks and know that God is there for us. Amen? Number three, encouragement would go up. Oh, I'd love to be seeing that. That we would, like I said earlier, if we really believe we're equal, other people aren't competition, and we would just freely encourage them in their gifts. I wonder, I see people serve week after week after week after week, and I wonder, does anyone ever tell you good job or thank you or I'm so glad you're using your gift? For those of you who are serving, I sure hope that you get patted on the back a lot. But the more we believe we are equal, the more that will happen. I believe that. If we really believed it, we would be really free with our encouragement. We'd just walk around. We'd just be encouragement machines. And I believe that the church can be the most encouraging group on the planet because we are so secure in who we are in God and so secure in His love that we have no problem encouraging other people. Number four, people would be cared for. If our spiritual gifts are given to us so we can help others, then the more people who say, I'll serve, the more people will be helped. In a church, if someone's sitting back and they're saying, no one's meeting my needs, no one's caring for me, first thing I wonder is this church using their gifts? Who's holding back? Because I don't believe that people should feel uncared for. I want people to be cared for. Strong churches are built by God through the church. And finally, number five, which is very related, we'd be more relationally connected. As we care for one another, the thing is about serving. I don't know about you, but those of you who have served, you know that you are more relationally connected to the people you serve with. It's not rocket science. You spend extra time with them. So when you're serving with people and you say yes to service and you start spending time serving alongside of others, you're more relationally connected as a church. I didn't go to seminary for this. This is obvious. And people who often feel alone and isolated, I find, are people who aren't serving. They're not in it. They're not getting to know other people. They're not serving alongside of other people. And this world is so lonely. So lonely. Makes me so sad. And how many people in this room, I mean, if we could just have like little meters above one, each of us, to say, what is our loneliness factor right now? For some of us, it's on extreme. But I believe that as we serve with one another, we will develop relationships with one another. And so this loneliness that is plaguing our society, it, to me, is one of the greatest opportunities for the church to rise and shine. Because we can offer real relationships, relationships with depth, relationships that go beyond who won the stupid Super Bowl. I just thought I'd throw something out there where I could get letters this week, okay? Or the weather, or work, or whatever, but actually talk about real things. I am equal. And I'll tell you something. The reason that this message is so personal for me is because this is a message I have to remind myself about on a regular basis. Some of you may have the mistaken idea that once you become a pastor, you must feel pretty good about yourself. You'd be wrong. I've been in enough ministerial meetings, enough conferences, to know that even amongst pastors, there's a feeling of inferiority. How big is your church? How many people did you baptize this year? And on and on and on it goes. How many programs did you start? How many years in Bible college did you go? And on and on and on. It just never ends. And I often leave feeling very small. And I think, if I feel that way, how about the people in my church who think, man, if you're a pastor, you've arrived. You're on the top of the pyramid. Wrong. I am equal is a message for all of us. And when you believe you are small, all you see are giants. I want to encourage you, church, God never called you to be the best. He's called you to be your best. I've said many times that if I could leave you with one gift, and forever, however long God has me be the pastor of Nanaimo Alliance Church, if I could give you one gift, is that you'd be absolutely convinced of the Father's love for you. Because when you believe God loves you, you can say with confidence, I am equal, and God can use me. For far too long, maybe you have come to this church and you have felt like a nickel in a room full of toonies. Some of us have been staring at the carpet for far too long. And it's time to get off the bench. You are not a useless volleyball player that's too short. You are a valuable part of what God wants to do to expand his kingdom in Nanaimo. You are here for a reason. You are still breathing for a reason. You have something to offer. And when you sign up for ministry, yep, you might lose some time and energy. But you could gain encouragement, relationship, positivity, and purpose in your life. As Michelle and her team are making their way up, I just want you to do something in the stillness of this moment. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Ask the Holy Spirit what He would have you do. Where does He want you to be involved? What is He wanting you to contribute to the advancement of the kingdom? How does He want to use you to care for people? Because you have a place. You are every bit as equal as anyone else.